the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. We'll have a Tennessee football practice report a little bit later. Try to bring you more comments from John Chavis, maybe Rick Barnes, Kelly Harper. We'll see what we can fit in for you. But it is now time for the Sports Fix at 6. We've got a $25 gift card to Big Kahuna Wings, and that is the sponsor of my blog. Hopefully you get a chance to read our blog. We try to write a couple of blogs per week. Hopefully you go there and check that out. Big Kahuna Wings is a family-style restaurant located in Knoxville, and it specializes in dry rub wings. Their menu includes organic, hormone-free chicken, burgers, fries, and more. Located in Farragut at 12828 Kingston Pike. Also, their more recent location near Westtown Mall, 7804 Montview Road. $25 gift card to Big Kahuna Wings. If you can answer this very challenging, Vince, trivia question.
Uh-oh.
All right. There are three Tennessee running backs who have had 200-yard games against the Arkansas Razorbacks. Name them. Name the three Tennessee running backs who have had 200-yard rushing games against Arkansas. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Brian. Brian, you're on the Sports Fix.
Okay, great. Let's see. That's a tough one. I'm good with Jamal Lewis, Cedric Houston, and Travis Henry.
You got one right. You finished strong. Okay.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Now, that is a pretty tough one to start off with, Brian, but thank you. From one Brian to another, Brian, you're on the Sports Fix.
Thanks for taking my call, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
And I love wings, so I hope I might get this. But
there we go.
I'm not 100% sure. I'll say Travis Henry. I'm going to go with Arian Foster. And also say Montario Hardesty right after Foster.
Didn't get that. There was a 200-yard game turned in by Foster, but it was against Vanderbilt. Hardesty did not do it. So you got one right. Started strong.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Let's go to Alan. Alan, you're on the Sports Fix.
Yes, guys. How about Henry, Foster, and I'm going to go Stevens.
Gosh, you got two out of three. You started strong and you finished strong. Two out of three. Yeah, doggone it. You almost got it. Travis Stevens did it back in 2001, the game played at Arkansas that was a monsoon and it was delayed by the weather and all that. And then Travis Henry did it in the year 2000. So, but we're looking for that other one. So, Alan, thank you. Let's go to Ken. Ken, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, long time no see, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I hope you are too.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to go with Stevens, Henry, and just out of the blue, Chuck Webb.
Well, that's a pretty good out of the blue. And that
oh,
was
you're
Cotton
kidding.
Bowl. Cotton Bowl
wow.
Blue, yeah. He did it in the Cotton Bowl.
Just a wild guess.
Yeah. He gained 250 yards against Arkansas in the Cotton Bowl in 1990. And then Travis Henry and Travis Stevens are the other two that did it. Hey, Ken, nice job. I hope you like wings. You've won a $25 gift card to Big Kahuna Wings. Hey, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And we're going to put you on hold to get that prize to you. So thank you for calling, and congratulations on nailing the trivia question.
Thanks, all right. Jimmy. We'll talk to you guys later.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. Tell you what, let's bring you another comment from John Chavis, former Tennessee defense coordinator. I thought this was pretty interesting. He was asked, what's the toughest thing about trying to defend the run-pass option known as the RPO?
It depends on how you build your defense, but obviously, you know, the RPOs is, it started in high school. It's, went to the college level. And now you're seeing it's big in the NFL. It's a really, really tough offense to stop. You can have success on them now. And that's kind of the way we approach it, We're not going to stop because they got so many options. We're not going to stop it completely, but what we want to do, slow it down, get them in down in distances where it's our favor, and then we can change up some stuff and maybe get them off the field. But it's with great quarterbacks, it's hard to stop. You look at Patrick Mahomes, and look what he's doing in the NFL. And those guys have hours and hours, and they've got some of the best players on the defense that you can have. They're not stopping. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't be stopped, but you got to execute really, really well. And the one thing that you've got to be able to do, you've got to be able to play man-to-man. And, and that works good. But again, offenses are so talented that they'll have an answer for you man-to-man sooner or later.
All right, and that is John Chavis as he spoke to the Knoxville Quarterback Club. Hey, when we come back, it will be a Tennessee football practice report brought to you by Poosby Heritage from our Eric Kane. With Vince Ferraro, I'm Jimmy Heim, Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. It's now time for Tennessee Football Practice Report brought to you by Poosby Heritage. And for that, we go to Eric Kane. Eric, how are you?
Hey, Jimmy, I'm doing well. Of course, still the conversation about the loss to Alabama has been on topic for the shows here today, talking about how Tennessee lost and and Alabama's offense moving up and down the field at will, essentially. Jeremy Pruitt very candid after that loss. We talked about how Jeremy Pruitt believes the gap is closing in the SEC between Tennessee and Alabama, and kind of talked about that. And he also said after the game that no one is more disappointed about this loss than the players and coaches in that locker room, and that they're not discouraged. They're frustrated with how they're playing right now because they know that they can't be playing a whole lot better. And then he went on to said, when comparing the two rosters, essentially Alabama and Tennessee, that Jeremy Pruitt said, that's why I took the job. I knew that it was going to be a hell of a challenge to fix things and get things better for Tennessee a couple of years ago, and that the team continues to improve, and it will continue to improve and get on until it starts winning some of those football games. So Jeremy Pruitt, very candid after the loss to Alabama, answering some harsh questions in post-game press conference. And, of course, all that audio and video, it's up on our website at 991thesportsanimal.com. It is the bye week. Tennessee football is hitting the practice field and trying to correct its own mistakes and, venture on towards Arkansas week after next. And John Chavis, former defensive line coach for Tennessee, former defensive coordinator for Tennessee, and Jay Graham spoke with the Knoxville Quarterback Club yesterday and had a lot of good things to say.
I thought he did a nice job managing the offense today. Had some scrambles out there. Was accurate on some throws. So it was good to see.
That was Jeremy Pruitt talking about Jared Garantano and his performance yesterday or Saturday against Alabama. But nonetheless, that was Jeremy Pruitt on Jared Garantano. But Jimmy, of course, you covered it a little bit. A lot of good things from John Chavis at the Knoxville Quarterback Club. I'll just jump into it. He said, Tennessee is more talented than Arkansas. Of course, Chavis was at Arkansas in 2019, and he said that looking at these two rosters right now, Tennessee is more talented, but Sam Pittman has those guys believing, and it's more of a breath of fresh air. And so that's a dangerous football team. And if you watch Arkansas play this year, especially defensively, Arkansas is a dangerous football team. Chavis went on to say that in 2019, that as a defensive staff, they developed the players. They made them better, but they underachieved. And that was kind of hard for him to admit and hard for the coaching staff to admit. Chavis went on to say that he's not really in favor of the one-time transfer rule, and that it's going to be hard to manage the name, image, and likeness. I believe his quote was, "I'm not saying these guys don't deserve to have something, but they've got a pretty sweet gig right now." And Chavis went on to say again that he hopes to coach 4 or 5 more years, but if not, it's been 42 great years, and he's been happy with it. And I think John Chavis certainly will be a guy that's going to be in high demand, most likely heading into the fall next season.
So we've heard Jeremy Pruitt talk about these scrimmages he's having on Sunday evenings or Sundays. Do you expect him to play more young players going forward based on what he has seen in some of those scrimmages?
Well, I don't think the favorite quote right now is youth movement, and I don't especially when you hear the word youth movement, really you're talking about Harrison Bailey, quarterback. I don't think there's going to be quote unquote a youth movement. I think that these guys will get more and more opportunities, especially this week with no game to prepare for on Saturday, and we'll get those live looks. We'll get some more of those scrimmage looks, and so maybe that will create some opportunities. Jeremy Pruitt said many times, whoever practices the best is going to play on Saturday. And I think you're seeing with guys like Tamarian McDonald, who was injured the first couple weeks of the season, has worked himself into the game at the very end the last 2 weeks. And I think that that's a guy that can maybe, go and play some more meaningful snaps in the secondary for a unit that's really struggling right now. Keyshawn Lawrence, after not appearing on the defensive side of the football for meaningful snaps, all season long, finally got in there and played a little bit against Alabama. That's a guy that I thought was going to play a small to bigger role, and his role continued to grow as the season progressed because he was one of the most highly rated prospects at a high school here in Tennessee. So I think some guys like that, they'll start to see their roles continue to grow. I think Morvin Joseph you're going to see a little bit as well. But it all goes back to practice. If these guys continue to prove it in practice and create good practice habits and start preparing like college football players, and that'll prove that Jeremy Pruitt can trust them, and that's when he's going to allow them to go into the football game. He doubled down on it a couple of times, and then again on Saturday after the game, saying he doesn't believe in just throwing some younger players out there just to throw them out there, that they have to earn it in practice.
If I missed it, sorry about this. Did you mention perhaps the receivers, Jimmy Holiday and Jimmy Callaway?
Yeah, I think those guys will continue to work in some as well. You're seeing Jalen Hyatt, and he's been out there the most of the young group, and he's kind of the deep threat, and he's been used on some jet sweeps and stuff like that. And you've seen Malachi Wyman and then Holiday and Callaway get in there at the end of some games and do some things. But, the more and more those guys work and get a better understanding of the offense and get a better, gain the trust of Jim Chaney, I think the more and more you'll see them as well. I don't think this is going to be a complete youth movement. I don't think you're going to see these guys take over for guys like Brandon Johnson and certainly not Josh Palmer. He's not going anywhere. But maybe Romel Keaton and Cedric Tillman. But I do think you'll start seeing more and more of these young receivers start to play more and more snaps along with Jalen Hyatt.
All right. Any other news or notes?
That'll about do it again. Jay Graham also did meet with the media yesterday at the Knoxville Quarterback Club, or spoke to the Knoxville Quarterback Club, rather, and said that Eric Gray was the best pass catcher, that the unit is working on breaking tackles downfield to have longer runs, that they're excited about the tempo of the offense, whether it's in a hurry-up or whether they're slowing it down, because they said the tempo of the offense will always affect the defense, and that he also said that Lenneth Whitehead is healthy now. So maybe he'll be a guy, Jimmy, that we can see down the line through the back half of the season. Today's Tennessee Football Practice Report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
All right, Eric, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy.
All right, I thought this would be kind of interesting as we go forward. We're going to hear from Rick Barnes here in just a second, but Cal has paused their workouts after after some positives. There were no symptoms shown, but they are pausing their workouts in California. They haven't even played a game yet, so that's a little bit disconcerting to see that occur. And then Bethune-Cookman became the first Division I program, they're Division I in a lot of sports, not football, to just shut it all down. They are not going to play any sports at all this year. That's the first program I've seen that has gone in that direction. So not good news there. All right, let's hear from Rick Barnes as he met with the media recently on a Zoom call. And our Vince Ferrar asked him about what has basketball learned from some of the issues that have hit college football.
Rick, earlier in the offseason, you had mentioned that basketball needed to learn from college football first before they could move forward. What's basketball learned about football being able to operate its season, although not perfect? And how positive has that been?
Well, I think what we've learned is what we've seen, the unpredictability of it in terms of, you know, the, you know, when you, when the COVID hit somewhere, how do you work through it? I will go back and still say this, it's a mute point, but I still think that we should have started on the 10th to give us more of a runway, you know, but that's not here. But we are making up some time to have at the end of the year with our conference schedule, which I think if something comes up, which, again, what we've learned from football, something will probably come up until unless something happens with the COVID itself. And so I think that we've learned from, if you've kept up with the football programs, where they've had to stop and go. It's happened to us in our preseason practice, just like it did with them. But as I was talking, mentioned earlier, you learn, hey, that's the way it is. That's the new norm right now. And you've got to be ready and be prepared to play with a group of guys that maybe didn't think early. And so it's so important that you're getting different guys ready for different situations because of the unknown. But the fact is, I think we've learned too that it can work if everybody does their job and everybody is, and even with everybody doing their job, you can still get hit with something unexpectedly. And that's what I was kind of alluding to. I think we've done everything we could to do our job here as a university and as a basketball program, certainly with what we see every day and the way Mary Carter and our staff, Chad Newman and those, and the way they have done things in prep with Ian, but we've still been hit. And, but we just work through it. And I don't think we're any different than anybody else in the country. I think we've all been hit some way, somehow.
Hey, Coach, how pleased have you been with your point guard so far? And has there been any separation there amongst that group?
Well, I will say this. We've been pleased. We've been slowed down there a little bit. That's the one area that I will tell you that we've been slowed down because we think we've got four or five guys that can play there and do the things that we want done, especially in transition. But we feel good about that spot because, you know, certainly Santi knows. I mean, he's still learning a lot what he wasn't able to learn a year ago. But Keon and Jaden have proven what they can are more than capable of learning it and playing it. Josiah understands it, and VJ Bailey's had to play it just because of the contact tracing. He's probably put more time in there than he has anywhere on the court because of our situation. So we've had we're doing some different things with our post guys that we'd like to implement transition that we think will not only help those guards, it'll help us as a team.
Rick, I know you don't have a lot of schedule answers, but with the SEC schedule, do you expect it to be the normal Tuesday or Wednesday game and then a Saturday game, or have you heard any?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be two games a week. That's how the way I understand it. And so, yeah, I would assume it would play like that. You know, it'll be those, yeah, two games a week is what we'll have. And I think it will be like that.
Rick, I remember back in March, you know, how shocked everybody was with the COVID situation. Remember, the Tennessee was about 1 hour to play and cancel. How do you, you know, come with the guys and talk about this new season? I asked the players, even, how you guys come up with this season? I feel like you guys should be more hungry because you're left out, you know, the SEC, even the, you know, the postseason. So how do you guys come up with this, come to the season after being, you know, stopped to play at the SEC championship?
Well, I think all teams in college, I think we all want to play. I've said that from the beginning. I mean, our guys, I've always said I thought we'd have a college basketball season even way back then. And so our guys are excited. There's no doubt. Would they like to be ready to scrimmage somebody in a week, there's no doubt they would. I mean, but I said, we're not, because of the COVID, we're not where we would be. We would do it, obviously, and it would help us. But the fact is, I think all teams are excited. I think we all know that the one thing I think we all know is there is a lot of unknown in terms of what can happen. Because I do, from my situation, when we've been hit with it, it's been in about as innocent a situation as you could imagine with our guys. And I know it's bothered them because they have felt like they've done everything right. But with that said, they're all excited about playing. And we just hope that we can get through what we've got to get through and have the best team we can have on the court every night we go out, I think is what they would like to see too.
Rick, I know that you said you're a little bit behind, which is to be expected. But given the summer and the fact that you didn't have a normal summer, guys got here late, all the newcomers, are you surprised where this team is right now from what you're getting on the court and the chemistry this team has?
Well, you're right about, Brent, about it's not a normal summer, fall. I wish we could have had it for our freshmen more than anybody. I think they would be further along than they are right now in a lot of areas individually. I think physically they would be further along. I think skill-wise they'd be further along. I think a lot of that basketball-wise. But with that said, it goes back to the way what I really have liked about this freshman group of guys that have come in, there's been no whatsoever sense of entitlement. They jumped right in. I think that's a great compliment to our older guys, because I think they learned real quick that they thought they understood what working hard was, what commitment was. But I think when they watched John Fulkerson on his own in the gym, they watched Eve Pons, they saw real quick, hey, boy, this is different. And so their expectations changed real quickly in terms of, hey, you know, I've got to go harder than I've ever gone. And there were some days we laughed. I'll be honest, we've laughed about it, where you just running simple sprints, how they fell out, threw up, things that were just things that they laugh about it now. But that's where they've made more progression in terms of understanding the physical side is much tougher than they thought. The mental side is it's much more grind than they could ever imagine. But the best part, really, Brent, is the fact that they've come in every day wanting to get better. And that's even when it's been days when we haven't had the whole team, when we've had to make do with just staying in the half court, when we've had to go days without being able to go up and down the court because of numbers. But the chemistry has never, ever wavered from the time that these guys have been here. I think we've got a really good group of guys that like each other and pull for each other, and they want to help each other get better.
Rick Barnes, Tennessee men's basketball coach. Vince, I think even with some of the setbacks they've had with practice and so forth, I do think he's pretty optimistic. He's got a really nice ball club on his hands.
Yeah, and he should be, because I think he's right. And we posted some practice highlights that UT made available to us. You can go to 99.1thesportsanimal.com. It's the second one. Or just follow our YouTube channel as well. You can get everything that we post, all and everything. So just make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel there. But it gives you an idea of the competition that's there in practice, and seeing guys get after it, get a look at the new players. And, you know, even when Vescovi was talking about each of those new guys, he's talking about athleticism for a bunch of them and different things they bring to the table. And you asked about the competition making them better. Coaches love that, Jimmy, regardless of the sport. And Rick Barnes has that. And guess what? He's going to be able to have that during the season as a hammer for playing time if guys aren't doing what they're coached to do.
Absolutely. That is Vince Ferrara. I'm Jimmy Himes. When we come back, we'll have more. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines with Vince Ferrar. Let's hear from Devontae Gaines, Tennessee basketball player. He's met with the media a while back on a Zoom call. Here comments from Tennessee's wing, Devontae Gaines.
Devontae, have you gained any weight in the offseason?
I have. At the end of last season, I was around 172 right now, up to about 182, so about 10 pounds over the offseason.
How do you think that will impact your season, putting on more weight?
The SEC, it's a rough league where guys are strong, so just adding more weight to myself, being able to absorb contact differently, finish differently, defend bigger guys. So I feel like that's adding weight is really going to help me throughout the season.
I know the season last year, in March didn't end the way you guys expect. You know, I bet you leaving you guys wanted more. How, you know, excited you are to start this season, you know, to start playing basketball again?
Like you said, last season we left off kind of just abruptly, like just with the season ending and everything, being at the SEC tournament. So guys are ready to get back in the gym, get back together, and get ready for the season coming up.
Yeah, Devontae, I'm sure adding weight was on your list of things that you wanted to do over the offseason. But when it comes to your game on the court, what are some things that you really wanted to work on over the offseason?
Definitely one of the things was being able to knock down the open shots that I get throughout the offense. While working on becoming a better defender, smarter defender, better teammate, things like that. Just part of my game, like you said, just getting stronger, just adds a lot more to the game that can help the team out. But definitely just working on being able to knock down open shots, be able to spread the floor for my teammates.
Hey, Devontae, what have you seen from the newcomers so far, whether that's Jaden, Keon, Corey, and throw EJ in there too?
Just guys who want to work. As I watched them in the gym, they just want to get better, asking questions. Even throughout workouts, asking the older guys questions about things that we have been through already. I just watched these guys work ethic. I feel like they're bringing a lot to the team already as freshmen and as newcomers with EJ. Them guys are just being able to work hard. I mean, it's contagious throughout the team. So once you see your teammates working hard, once you see your teammates want to get better, it just helps the team as a whole, everybody on the same page. So I feel like them guys came and really made an impact with their work ethic. As far as just being able to just to take what we're giving them and supply it to practice, workouts, things like that.
Hey, Devontae, good morning. From a personal and a team standpoint, what's this offseason been like for you guys? Not just trying to get work in, but dealing with the pandemic and everything going on with that. What has this whole experience been like for you guys?
It's definitely been different. Guys, just the whole experience of just the pandemic, different. Can't work out the same way, can't practice the same way, things like that. So, just things that are in place, just the safety precautions, things like that. I feel like the staff is doing a great job with helping us with that. I mean, it's definitely just different. You just got to try to just make it as normal as possible to yourself and just keep continuing working on things that we need to get better while becoming closer as teammates, things like that. But the pandemic has definitely made it different, but we're working our ways around it and just hoping to get better every day.
What's been the key to making it through this time for you guys, you think?
I'd definitely say just staying locked in. It's easy to get sidetracked with things going on, the pandemic, thinking about other things. But I feel like if we stay focused, just keep a narrow path and just have your eyes on what you're working towards, I feel like it's really helped us a lot.
Devontae, I know defensive rebounding was kind of an area of struggle for you guys last year. What makes you think that this team is going to be a better team on the defensive glass?
Just having athletic guys who could go get a rebound, even the newcomers, aggressive guards who's crashing the glass with VJ coming in, EJ as well. I was a great rebounder at Sacred Heart throughout his career there. So I feel like just guys being more aggressive to the glass and that we know that we weren't one of the best teams in defensive rebounding. So just adding that to our resume this year where we want to improve on that. So coaches harp on it, like we got to be able to rebound the ball and get out in transition, things like that. So the coach telling us that, well, we knew that we wasn't pretty good in defensive rebounding last year, ranking where we ranked. So this year we really put emphasis on being able to go get the ball, get out in transition, things like that.
How have you seen Olivier and Urosh grow specifically in, I guess, rebounding and kind of filling that role?
It just comes with guys understanding their role. Coaches let you know what they want you to do. So I feel like them guys have really been working on being more aggressive down low, boxing out more, attacking the rebound instead of letting them come to them, things like that. So just being more aggressive right on the floor will help defensive rebound, basically. Just basically boxing out and just going to get the ball, attacking it instead of letting it come to you.
Devontae, how do you feel like you have expanded your offensive game from last year?
Like I said earlier, just being able to work on my shot, being able to spread the floor, and also working on ball handling, things like that, so where I can help the team handle the ball, grab and go rebounds, things like that. So just help the team out in just best way that I can. I feel like just expanding my shooting, dribbling, passing, just help the team out.
And there have been a number of people that have favored Tennessee to win the SEC. Do you take that as a compliment, or do you pay any attention to that?
I mean, just early on, I just feel like we just got to keep getting better as a team. As great as guys picked us to be first in the season, we still have to put the work in every day, just get better as a unit and to live out those type of predictions.
Devontae, did you have any contact with Coach Barnes during the offseason? You know, did he have any conversation with you, any advice, any contact with you during the offseason?
Oh, yeah, coaches called us often, just let us know, ask us how we're doing, checking up on us, and also just the things to work on when we are able to get in the gym. So most conversations were just check-ins, how are you doing, things like that, but it was conversations where we want you to work on this, bring this, try to work on this before you get back, things like that, and then, yeah, just check-ins and just letting us know things that you want to look for when we come out with things to work on.
Devontae, it seemed like last year you really kind of stepped into a leadership role, just maybe in terms of an attitude on the court. How have you continued to grow in that area and kind of working with some of the younger guards now to bring them along with that?
I would definitely say earlier on last year, I feel like I kind of sat around, waited to just fill out things. But like you said, kind of grew into a leadership role. I just felt like I was one of the guys who could have had a voice throughout the year. And I started using that voice towards the middle and end of the year and just helping the younger guys. I just feel more confident in myself to help them. So like when I see them doing something wrong or coaches getting on them, I just let them know, like, it's just the process throughout the thing. So I think the leadership role came when I began getting confidence in my own voice and being able to help others came along with it.
Was there a moment or a game or practice or something do you remember where you being a leader kind of clicked for you?
There's a few instances, but I'd probably say this South Carolina game. I feel like that's one of the games where I kind of just became more confident in my voice. Talking during that game and seeing even a nice response to that, I just felt that's gave me more confidence to be able to speak out. And older guys responding to a younger guy, even though he's underclassmen, things like that. So that really helped me out and growing in my leadership.
You mentioned a minute ago about guys needing to understand their role. And I know it's still early in the preseason, but what do you foresee your role being on this team?
Definitely just being that same defensive guy. A guy who coaches count on defensive end. Being able to knock down the open shots, rebound, things like that. So things I have had success with in the past, just enhancing those things and whatever coach asks me to do, I'm willing to do.
Devontae, can you talk more about and describe the atmosphere of competition around this team with so many new and exciting players added to the roster?
Definitely bring excitement. Just being able to get in the gym and compete with those guys. The new guys come, four new guys coming in. Everybody competing, and it really helps us get a visual of how things can be throughout the season, where it's guys who are playing and get tired, bringing another guys in, things like that. So I feel like the competition will only help us throughout the season, make us stronger as a team.
Devontae, we've heard stories about the off seasons that Kevin Punter had with Coach Barnes and improving his shot and Admiral and so many other guys. What was your routine over the off season to help you improve knocking down those open shots that you talk about?
Kind of same experience. I talked to Coach Barnes a lot about it. He just reminds me that those guys that he has coached already been through the same process that I'm going through right now with changing a jump shot, becoming more efficient. So just working on my form, release point, just breaking down every aspect of a shot that I needed to work on, just working on it piece by piece, even if it's form shots with a heavy ball, 300 threes, man, just everything about shooting, just on my form, elbowing, like just all the aspects of shooting. Coach has really harped on it and helped me a lot. And I've been in the gym working on those things.
Hey, Devontae, have you guys talked amongst yourselves, and what are your thoughts on possibly playing some games like tournament games in a bubble type, you know, atmosphere for safety precautions, things like that as we move through into and through this season?
Well, as a basketball player, we're watching the NBA guys do it. Just seeing how successful that was with them guys being in a bubble, having zero positive tests for COVID for a long stretch, a long haul over the course of the remainder of the season and playoffs. So as a player, we probably just feel like that probably be a safe thing to do just as we watching our superiors do it, NBA players. So I think it would be pretty cool being a bubble.
Devontae, the regular season was supposed to start around November the 11th, and now you're going to have to wait at least 2 more weeks. Is it hard to be patient to wait for the start of the season a couple more weeks?
I think if you ask any player, I think they're just so ready to play after the abrupt end, like you said, last season ended so quickly without having a chance to play the tournament, conference tournament, or even the NCAA tournament, things like that. So I feel like a lot of players is just ready to get back on the court, ready to compete, and ready to compete for a national championship, basically.
Devontae, what's the most insanely freaky athletic thing you've seen Keon Johnson do since he got to campus?
I mean, he's done a lot. It's crazy to actually see the guys like him and Eve in the same gym. So I'll probably say, I mean, it's a lot. I can just name one thing, but he's crazy athletic. He does, and I don't. It's a lot. I can't even pinpoint one thing.
Devontae Gaines. And Vince, when you look at the players Tennessee has, nothing against Devontae, it's going to be tough for him to find a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and Jimmy, that's why I asked him about the competition, because the newcomers impact him as much as anybody else. There's other guys that I think will have their minutes diminished or eliminated potentially, like Olivia Kumwa, and we'll see what Urosh looks like. And Drew Pember might be looking at a red shirt. But I think Gaines is the one that's most impacted, because a number of those guys are there on the wing, and they just have so many versatility and options in lineup that even if some of those other bigs develop, that could push them to a bigger lineup and then squeeze, you know, some more minutes away from him potentially. It depends on how much the extra weight and the work on his game, how improved he is. He could probably get some if he's improved, but if he's similar like a Jalen Johnson who didn't really see the improvement, if he's like him, then you're right. He is going to lose his minutes.
All right, when we come back, we will have more with Vince Ferrar and Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The voices in our head may not be real, but they're loud and have some good ideas. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Let's work in Roger. Hello, Roger. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm doing fine, Jimmy. How you doing, Jimmy? Not Jimmy.
I'm doing fine. Don't have a lot of time, so what's up?
Oh, no, hold up, Vince. I was wanting to ask you real quick. I just want to ask you about Pruitt, what he said about the gap thing, Vince and Jimmy. I just want to ask you first, real quick, Jimmy. Vince, what you talk about? Is Pruitt right? He said that the gap between Alabama and Tennessee is getting better. I just want to ask you about that, Vince. Is he right about that, Vince?
No, Roger. He's not right about that. And it's his opinion, and he's defending his team. I get that, but it's a results business, and the scoreboard is the ultimate judge. So I don't think he's accurate on that personally.
No, and the timing wasn't very good to say that. And look, you may right. feel like the culture is better. Maybe you got more good young players. Maybe you feel like you're better at the line of scrimmage. But I think the timing was probably not ideal. A couple of notes. Tennessee men's golf team playing in the tournament at Vanderbilt. They tied for fourth. They shot 24 under par and tied for fourth. Vanderbilt shot 39 under. Tennessee was 8 under each day. Bryce Lewis led Tennessee. He tied for 18th. He shot par better every day. Also, I know what's wrong with the Dallas defense. They continue to rub Tabasco sauce in their eyes. So that's what the deal is. The defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, I don't know if you saw the press conference, but he was having the press conference. He rubbed his eye and he had Tabasco sauce on his fingers, and he had to stop the press conference to go, I guess, put some water in his eye to help himself. Ah. Antonio Brown signs a $2.5 million for our Tampa Bay. Vince, a little bit of time left. Do you think that's going to work out?
So I'm sorry. What was that question, Jimmy?
Antonio Brown.
Cut out for a second. Oh, not really. I don't think it's going to be a big impact or boost to him. No.
No, I don't either. And then Dez Bryant's on the Ravens practice squad. We'll see how that works out as well. And also, Penn State has lost their running back Noah Kane, season-ending surgery. And Journey Brown, who also has had issues. So they're without their top two running backs at this point. And then Tiger Woods said he's going to skip the Houston Open to focus on the Masters. So, hey, Vince, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate you.
That is Vince Ferrara. And I do want to thank everybody that called. Thank everybody for listening. And I look forward to bringing you a big show again tomorrow. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.